Hello, Internet!
I'm Ross Middleton.
I'm Ewan Spence.
I'm Matthew Carr.
And this is Jukebox
Jury,
the 2020 Championship. Looking to qualify out of the semi-final? It's Armenia, Iceland, Czech Republic, and Bulgaria. Yes, good afternoon, good morning, good evening, and welcome to a rather special edition of Jukebox Jury. It's the first of three special editions because, let's face it, whatever we did have planned for 2020, it's not happening at the moment. Here, there should have been daily podcasts coming to you backstage from Rotterdam, interviews, a look at all the rehearsals going on. But as we all know, the Eurovision Song Contest 2020 and countless other events around the world have rightly been cancelled. It's put us into a strange situation. Jukebox Jury has always acted as a sort of preview, a sort of opening few chapters before the main story unfolds. But now, we have no ending. The debates will continue, but we still need to somehow get ESC Insight's 2020 year into a land. So, welcome to Jukebox Jury Championship Edition. We've had 8 shows already. That gives us 8 winners. We're going to seed them into 2 semi-finals. The top 2 will proceed through to the grand final. And at the end of that, we will have a victorious song. Now, what are we looking for? This isn't hit, miss, and maybe in the championship edition. We're looking for the judges to pick their favourite song. It's not about who would win Eurovision. It's not about who might have the best staging. It's about the songs we have, the audio, the videos, the personalities. What connects the most to us? Which of these 8 songs is our collective favourite? Which of these 8 songs will actually win? Yeah. It might work, it might not. Let's give it a go. And of course, to help me do that, we need judges as well. So joining me, drafted back into the bench for the postseason, we have Matthew Carr and Ross Middleton. Matthew, welcome back.
Thank you. Thrilled and surprised to be back.
As I said, we're not looking for hit, miss, and maybe in this one. We're looking for favourite songs. What is it you look for in a song that connects to you, that makes you think that's the one?
Well, to be perfectly honest, I have a very strange relationship with Eurovision songs because I very rarely come to Eurovision looking for a song to fall in love with. Now, that might sound strange because you think, well, why are you involved? It's because I love the competition. I love the fact that these songs are competitive. Some of them are absolutely not competitive. Doesn't make them bad songs. And I'm fascinated, have been for 20 years, ever since I wrote my dissertation for my degree about Eurovision, with this kind of slightly academic, very nerdy idea of how do you attribute points to a song. It's the most fascinating thing. So when you ask me what are my favourites, I don't have any favourites. I'm not interested. I have so much music in my life that I think is incredible. There are, of course, some songs this year that are nice, that are really good songs, you know, fantastic compositions. But I can promise you I won't be listening to them in a couple of months' time. There's too much other music in the world for me. There's just music after music after music, and I work every day on music. So it's too much for me. But I'm considering these as a little... They are Eurovision songs. Yes, Eurovision isn't happening, but they are Eurovision songs. And what I get excited about is when a song comes up to the table and says, right, I'm up for it. I'm fighting, you know, I'm Muhammad Ali. I'm going to take down all the others and I'm going to win. So that's what I look for in a Eurovision song. It's this kind of magical spark of stepping up to the plate and saying, I am special. So that's what I'm looking for.
And so we go from Muhammad Ali over to George Foreman from Piff Paff Blog. It's Ross Middleton.
I have a grilling machine and I'm desperate to sell it to you. That's the key message here. It's lean, it's mean, it's a fat-reducing grilling machine.
It's not very lyrical, though, is it?
No, it's not. I should be in Rotterdam right now. I've just done the George Foreman grill catchphrase. I promise you I'm fine. It's largely okay, but... it's quarantine, it's self-isolation, let it go, for goodness sake.
So, Ross, yourself, what do you look for in a song?
Well, this, for me, is hard, but for completely the opposite reason. Like, you get people like Matthew on Jukebox Jury, who are music experts. I honestly know next to nothing. I am here purely for the performative and for the competitive nature of the song contest. Take those two things out, and I'm probably not really that interested. It's only because it's a competition. It's only because it's live performance, which is my background from entertaining back years and years ago, that's brought me here to this stage. So, to be honest, in terms of songs, before it gets to the stage of when you first listen on a Spotify playlist or YouTube, whatever, all I want is something that grabs me. It's something that is interesting, something different, and that I like to listen to. It's such a basic thing to say, but that's the nub of it for me. Until you get to the stage, something that I just want to listen to more than once, because there's so many songs, national finals, Eurovision itself, that one listen is more than enough. But yeah, something I want to listen to on a repeat basis would be the thing that would grab me personally.
For me, it's all about the storytelling element of that. The songs at Eurovision are just 3 minutes long, but you can pack so much emotion and plot and drama into those 3 minutes. Something like Goodbye to Yesterday, if we go back a couple of years, has an entire soap opera in there, and it goes through in 3 minutes. So the songs that grab me are the ones that have progression, that change and evolve in Eurovision terms over the 3 minutes, that start and end in different points and different places. Or they're Italian. For those of you keeping score, Italy are not going to be in either of these semi-finals. They didn't make it through the 41 who were all entering the what have now turned out to be the opening rounds. But speaking of points, this is how we do it. As I said, we don't have hit, miss, or it may be going on in this one. We're going to discuss the four songs that are in this semi-final. And at the end of that, the three judges here are going to rank the songs from favourite to least favourite, and then they will be allocated points. 5 points to the first, then three, then two, then one. We're going to add them all together at the end, and the top two will qualify out of this semi-final and go forward into the grand final. So it's two from the top on each, and then we'll have four in the grand final as well. Schedule-wise, well, you're listening to Semi-Final 1, which we posted up on the UCInsight.com website on Monday, the 11th of May. Semi-Final 2 is set for Wednesday, the 13th of May, and we will be having our grand final on Friday, the 15th of May. Semi-Final 2 will feature Russia, Lithuania, the Netherlands, and Sweden. But we're in semi-final one now. We're going to end with Bulgaria. Before that, the Czech Republic and Iceland. But to kick us off, we're going to have Athina Manoukian, Chains on You, from Armenia. I'm yours, only yours, and of course, hurt me. Chains on, chains on you. I'm a putting boy, chains on, chains on you. Chains on, chains on you. I'm a putting boy, chains on, chains on you. I was staring at you while I was sitting next to you. I think you got a juice to start it, thinking how my nose under you. So you were walking towards me, and I knew I should believe I would be the one that really make it feel like a boss. I start it, I make it, I write it, I work it. Don't like it, I'm gonna say no. I ain't on line, I'm trying, I'm flying, no bite, and I know I'm gonna make it to the top. Chains on You there from Armenia's Athina Manoukian. Now, we're going to be doing this slightly different in the championship. We are going to listen and talk about the songs, but we're not going to do any scoring until the very end, much like another televised contest that we may or may not be familiar with. Ross, do you want to kick us off on this one?
Yeah. So part of my kind of coping strategy, if you will, when all this kicked off and there was going to be no Eurovision, was that I basically went into shutdown with regards to the contest. I didn't listen to any songs. I, to be honest, haven't listened to any of the jukebox jurors at all. I'm coming to this completely fresh, really, having had a few months off with nothing Eurovision at all. And when you said we were doing Armenia, I genuinely couldn't recall what that song was. I had to go back. I checked my notes. I've got a spreadsheet of every single national final song that comes out, a little score out of 10 and a brief description. This, I gave 2 out of 10, and the description was, I never want to have to hear this song again. Which I now look back and think that is ridiculously harsh, but I gather it's been revamped since. I have a problem with this because there are about 5 or 6 songs every year, but at this point, I would have listened to them. But if you asked me, say, in end of March, I couldn't recall them. And that's where I am just now. I'm still kind of end of March brain, because in those last 2 weeks, so many songs come out and they're so thrown at you, you just forget. And I either forget a song because it's not memorable, or forget a song deliberately because I do not like it. And I'm afraid that's where this sits here. Having listened back to it, I was going, actually, it's not too bad. It's a bit harsh. The verses are all right and the chorus kicks in. But it's that vocal in the chorus, chains and chains on you, chains and chains on you, that great. And that's, I remembered then when I heard that, went, ah, that's why it's a 2 out of 10. Because otherwise, I don't mind it. It's all right. It passes muster. But that vocal in the middle, oh, Lord, no. No, 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 no. I couldn't deal with it. A bit harsh, perhaps. But yeah, not for me, really.
I'm afraid if you're listening, Athena, I'm going to continue very much on the theme that Ross has set up here, because I felt exactly the same. I thought I knew this song. I thought I must have listened to it at least once. And then I realised, oh, no, I didn't get through it. I literally didn't get through it the first time. Had a bit of a listen, thought, OK, I now have a concept of what the Armenian entry is. Know that it's very much not competitive. Not particularly interested in hearing it before the rehearsals. So, you know, I just parked it. Now I'm again, I just had a little listen to it and thought, well, oh, no, it's not that bad, actually. I thought it was all talky all the way through, because it's true that that chorus is really quite annoying. But there is actually a bit where she sings, which I hadn't noticed before. And I like that bit. I think she's a really fine singer. I just think it was a bit of a misstep to go for this kind of trap track. Let's just call it what it is. It's this kind of female vocal trap song. There's one like this that I think is fairly similar on the soundtrack to the Birds of Prey movie, the Harley Quinn movie, by Normani, and it's called Diamonds. And it goes, diamonds are a girl's best friend. Da-da, diamonds are a girl's best friend. When the chains on you. Da-da-da. Like, I mean...
Sorry, have you just taken the musical intonation of one song and lifted it in a surreptitious way to place it with the notes of another song?
Well, there aren't really any notes, Ewan, if you notice. It's basically just annoying talking in an annoying way on the same kind of trap beat. It's just that, you know...
The reason there are no notes, if there were notes, legal departments say you can't call it one song to the tune of another. Because there aren't any notes, we're legally safe.
So, no, what it is, Ewan, is it's one rhythmical flow to the beat of another. That's what this is.
So it's the flow to the beat, to the beat, to the flow.
It's just basically saying, okay, let's do generic trap song, female vocal trap song. Let's do that. And I mean, why not? We haven't actually had it at Eurovision before. So actually, first of all, my ears pricked up and I thought, oh, that's different. It's interesting. But then, like Ross, I just put it to one side and forgot it ever existed. So that's not a good sign, really. It's just, it's not the kind of song that leaps out and demands attention. I think people who like it are people who love this kind of music anyway. But if they're being truthful to themselves, I think they've probably heard it done a little bit better. I don't think it quite suits her voice. And I think the thing that's a little bit grating in the chorus is that it doesn't feel genuine. I don't feel that she really has swag. I don't think she grew up in the Bronx area of Yerevan. I don't think she's that street. And I think it sounds a little bit like she's trying on a kind of, I'm trying to be diplomatic here, an outfit that doesn't quite suit her.
Matthew, I think outfit is actually the key word in all of this. This is a song which demands the visuals. When I listen to it, just as the audio, you know, it's got clear, defined sections to it. It's got the rap bit, there's the spoken bit, there's the musicality bit. They're all very distinctive elements. But the thing is, they're all elements that stay exactly the same. So to me, there's no progression in the song. It's just like, we'll take a bit of A, a bit of B, a bit of C. Now we'll do a bit of A again, now a bit of B again, now a bit of C again, and round in a circle until the 3 minutes are up. But when you watch the video, you realise that this is a much more performative piece than just the music. And it's a stunning piece of performative video. I can see exactly the reaction they were trying to get, but I'm not having that reaction to it. I find the whole thing just a little bit sterile. I know who it's aimed for, and it's not aimed at me.
And at that point, normally, we'd say miss.
But we're not doing that now. So, judges, get out your ranking card. and decide where in the first, second, third or fourth you're going to place Armenia. Write that down. Don't let anybody else see your answer.
Mr. Nav, I have a problem. We do 6 points.
Yes.
Nobody's getting 6 points, Matthew. It's 5, 3, 2, or 1.
S'il te plaît, Mr. Nav. No, not a complaint.
Yes, well, we have the votes. They have been counted, and we have it. It's a valid result. And, well, it's the only time I'll have to do it now. So, Ewan, over to you.
I don't have it. So while I go looking for that, we will head on to song number 2 in this semi-final, and we are going to head from Armenia to Iceland. Probably one of the largest journeys we could make if we were allowed outside at the moment, and if we could think about things.
When we first met, I will never forget. 'Cause even though I didn't know you yet, we were bound together then and forever. What do you think about things? Believe it, I will always be there, so you can tell me anything and I'll listen.
Okay, so Davi Freyr, think about things. And I can't pronounce that Icelandic word, even though I can pronounce Eyjafjallajökull, but I can't pronounce the second part of Davi Freyr and his friends. Let's call it that. I do think this had an incredibly good chance of winning Eurovision, but that's not what this episode is about. We're meant to be saying how much we like it. I'm going to talk about how much I like it in terms of it as a competitive entry. And honestly, it's not that much. I think it's absolutely fine and it does what it does. Do I want, when it's finished, do I want to listen to it again? No. Am I excited enough to share it myself? No, although I know it's been shared far and wide and it has become a bit of a, you know, viral phenomenon and all of that. I'm very aware of that, but I didn't share it and I wasn't super excited about it being an Icelandic entry. I think it's good. I think it's good. But I do think in this genre, when we reviewed it, actually, on Jukebox Jury, Rob Holly mentioned Hot Chip. And they are quite a good reference, actually. They're a cool, hipster, kind of electro-pop band from, about 10 years ago. But everything they did was cooler than this, for my taste. That musically, the songs, I think, were just slightly better written. And I don't want to take anything away from Davi, because I do think it was a good Eurovision entry. I really do. But I just have to be honest from the heart. I don't love this. I think it's good. I think it's competent. I'm not as compelled and as fascinated and as absolutely blown away by the magnificence of this song or the vocal or the performance. I think it's competent. I think it's good. I have respect for it. I can't say I love it.
I'm going to start off by going back to that Jukebox Jury episode as well. And a lot of what I talked about there was this song has been designed to score as many points as possible at Eurovision, because at the end of the day, whoever gets the most points wins the Eurovision Song Contest. But as you say, Matthew, we're not talking about Eurovision here. We're talking about favourite songs, the ones that you go back to. And Iceland doesn't really stick in my head. I can remember the dance move, I can remember the swirly arm, and I can remember the look, and I can remember the horns kicking in. But beyond that, it's a song that's there. It's a song that when it's playing, I go, yep, I like this. This is a nice way to spend 3 minutes. But it's not 3 minutes that I would seek out. If it pops up on my random playlist, super happy. If I'm populating songs that I want to listen to again from 2020, it's going to be there, but it's not going to be very high up. I'm going to steal that word, competent. There's nothing wrong with this song. It's certainly above average, but it doesn't scale the heights and grabs my heart and sets it a sail. It's a nice trip out to my favourite restaurant, but I do that quite a lot. So it's not incredibly special. It's just very nice.
You're going out to your favourite restaurant quite a lot. That's in direct contravention of the rules. Anyway, right, bringing it back to the song. I'm going to take this in two parts. I'm going to just deal with song, first of all. On its own, going back to whenever back in January, February, when the playlist came out for Song for Kepnen, admittedly, it was Oculus Videre that grabbed my attention and not think about things. That's maybe a little bit telling. But the second point is this has taken the direct advice from the Love, Love, Peace, Peace playbook. It has the outfits that the audience will remember. It has the wind machine. He looks into the TV camera so the audience can see that he's lovable, not desperate, smile, and they will vote for him. It's got that full, as you say, it's built to be a Eurovision entry. Davi apparently came up with the staging for this first before he came up with the song. And you can kind of tell because it's all about the performance. The more I listened to the song, the more it got to me. The more I understood the lyrics and the meaning behind it about his little daughter. And you listen to it, you go, oh, that's actually really sweet and is far better than Save Your Kisses for Me, if we're going in that kind of genre. But the song itself didn't stand out on first listen. It's only when you add in those other elements, the visual and the performative, that it took it to a new level. And when it did take it to a new level, I know we're not meant to talk about who's going to win Eurovision, but this would have won Eurovision, let's be honest. Because there wasn't an awful lot of other things challenging it this year. It had a clean run. Performance, great. Song, decent. Whole package, 8 out of 10. And 8 out of 10 does it for me.
You know what, though, Ross? The thing is, I can't disagree with anything you've said, but isn't it a shame the song isn't a 10 out of 10? Because if it had been, then we just would have been packing our bags. I mean, a little bit premature considering what's happened, but we would have been packing our bags for Reykjavik and it would have been a slam dunk and they would have been number one with the bookies, and they weren't. They probably would have been come the time of the final, but they weren't.
Were they not?
And if the song... No. Oh. Another song was that we might be talking about in a moment, at least at time of, you know, cancellation of Eurovision. But I just wish the song was those 2 percentage points better. Well, you know, just it really is very competent. But I wish the song without the visuals was a wow. And I don't think it is. I think people have been very influenced by the performance, which admittedly is a tour de force. It's very well done. And it's full of joy. It's full of love. It's full of positivity. That's all of that I appreciate. Just as a musician, I just wish the song was a bit better. And I know people love the song, but then people love every song that's ever existed. Someone loves every song. That's not really up for debate. Of course, some people love the song. However, if the performance was a chap stood there singing earnestly into a microphone this exact song, would there be the buzz about it? I don't think it would even be a contender for top 10. I think it's the performance, the vibe, the energy, the charisma, all of which counts for a lot. But the song itself, it's not quite a slam dunk.
Okay, then, guys, get your ranking sheets out. Remember, we're not talking about who would win Eurovision. We're talking about favourite songs. Put that down, decide where you're going. And we will head over to the Czech Republic. Benny Christos, come on.
And there we had Benny Christo with Kimama. Now, I have to admit that once again, this feels a little bit like deja vu because this is a song that I've probably heard 2-3 times in total before today. I listened to it a couple more times before we did the recording. And similar to Armenia, it just passes me by. I was really struggling with how to place this as a song. I couldn't think where I would hear this or in what context. And then about 2 hours before we started recording the podcast, I was playing PlayStation with my flatmate, playing FIFA. And I went, that's it. This is a FIFA soundtrack song. It's perfect. It's absolutely perfect for that because it's upbeat, it's fun, it passes you by whilst you're making your lineup for the upcoming game. But that's not necessarily a good thing because it does just kind of pass me by. It's the same as Armenia. I'm not entirely sure how we've got to this point. I am going to need to listen back to these jukebox Jews at some point because we're missing Malta, we're missing Israel, we're missing Azerbaijan. How have we got here? I even thought we're missing Ireland, and then I remembered that it was my own jukebox jury that took that out of the equation, so I should probably wind my neck in. But, yeah, Kimama, Yeah, it's fine. Does the job, but not much more.
Well, let's check with one of the judges that actually did put the Czech Republic high up and gave it the pass. Matthew?
Yeah, I'm kind of reprimanding past me for that. Because now, you know, when you listen to music with other people and you kind of hear it through their ears, it's a really interesting phenomenon, which is very useful actually as a songwriter and producer, because sometimes you just need to play it to someone who really doesn't give a monkey about it. And then you go, oh yeah, I was really excited about it. It's actually not very good. Listening to it now with Ross, I am aware that when it's on, it's cool. I must say, when it's on for those 3 minutes, I enjoy it significantly more than the Armenian entry. I must say that. But I'm not, at the end of a run of songs, I'm not jumping out my seat to vote for it. And I did say, to be fair, on my Jukebox Jury, very clearly that I was giving it a cheeky hit, whereas it might not necessarily qualify at the semi-finals, but I was giving it a hit because I really, really liked the vibe and there was something cool about it that we hadn't heard at Eurovision before. So I was kind of a bit excited about that. It was a very borderline hit. Anyway, I think it's full of hooks, but those hooks are actually difficult to remember when the song isn't on, if that makes any sense. Oh, partly, I guess, because it's not in English, that little hook. But I do think it's a very, very cool vibe. I really like the mood of the track. Benny's an incredibly charismatic performer. I think he would have elevated the performance enormously. Yeah, but without that performance, I do agree it does feel a little bit like background music, which isn't really an insult, because there can be fantastic music that you put on in the background. Hey, Sade and Dido and all of them sold an awful lot of albums making pleasant, you know, they used to call it coffee table music back in the day. That's not an insult. It's high quality, vibey music. But yeah, I think I don't know if he totally deserves his spot in this round. I'm sorry, Benny. I'm sorry. You're in now. Anyway, you've got a shot.
What I love here is that there is actually a really good song at the heart of it. There's a piano-based version, which is just a single piano and Benny's voice in it, that went out on Czech TV a couple months ago. I've managed to snag a copy of it. And when you listen back to it, when it's taken out the Jesse Matador, LA style FIFA in the background, and it strips it all the way back down, and you have a really nice track, and I love listening to that, but it's very much like Dido. When it's over, and everybody goes, what happened to Dido? And it's kind of the same here. It's great when it's on, there's a connection as it goes through, but it just fades away at the end of it. And we're now in that situation where if we were talking about it in a Eurovision sense, it would be a case of that's going to fit in great in the playlist. There's going to be a great big party atmosphere. It's going to capture the mood in the atmosphere, and it's going to reflect the mood, and that's going to help you remember it. I find it harder to connect to it when I'm listening to it on my own, rather than, as you say, Matthew, when I'm listening to it in a group. You know what it is? It's delightfully forgettable. So I know where it's going on my ranking sheet. Ross, do you know where it's going in yours?
Yes, I do know where it's going on.
Matthew?
Yeah.
Right, okay, pop that down. Okay, there should be one space left in your form, so hopefully the fourth and final entry in this semi-final is going to fit into that slot. Otherwise, we're all going to have to do some rapid reshuffling as we take a listen to Bulgaria with Victoria's Tears Getting Sober.
I've got some space to grow.
Tears Getting Sober there, Victoria singing for Bulgaria. Remember how I said I liked story, I liked plotline, I liked something that has a definite start and a definite finish? That final word, scar, is just like the the cherry on the top of a song that ticks all the boxes that it needs to. There aren't any crashing guitars, there isn't a great amount of pyro in here, but you don't need every element in a song to make it connect with someone. And yeah, this one for me is the one that I've made the most connection with out of the four that we've got here in this semi-final. It's everything I look for in a song.
I feel nothing for it. I am the complete opposite. Lyrically, I take your point, but musically, for me, it just kind of meanders until it gets to a key change and then just stumbles over it, and eventually we get to the end of the song. This one dumbfounded me, if I'm entirely honest, in the build-up to a contest we were supposed to have. I feel really very little for it. Every time I think about it, and it does stick in my head, it is catchy, so there is definitely something there that I definitely don't dislike it, that would be too harsh, but I don't love it. I don't go out of my way to listen to it. Every time I see it being mentioned on Twitter when we were going to have a winner as a potential winner, I go, right, hang on, right, go and listen to it again, Ross. Take it in and try and get it, because there's clearly something you're missing here. And every time I've gone back to it, I've never found that thing that everyone else seems to get. I don't hear a winner. I hear something quite laid back and chilled and perfectly pleasant, but pleasant Eurovision. Yeah, fine.
Okay, so what's really interesting about certain songs at Eurovision is that the ones that are ballads, particularly very stripped down, quite intimate ballads, usually go one way or the other for every listener. They either have the reaction that Ross had, which is that I don't get it. I just don't get it. This reminds me of a conversation we had last year. I think it was with Ellie talking about Arcade, where I said, first time I heard it, got chills. Basically every time, particularly when he sang it live after that, I got chills. It wasn't my favourite song of the year, but I thought it was just, it did something to me viscerally. And Ellie was like, competent, good, don't quite get it. And that is what's happened with this Bulgarian entry. I think it also happened with Salvador. There are people to this day who are like, I do not understand how that song won Eurovision. And actually, Graham Norton, I think, is one of them. I think when he talks about that winner, he said, oh, well, clearly everybody saw something in that and I didn't. So just to reveal, I am in the camp of those who gets chills when this song comes on. I think probably not after the first listen. I remember where I was when I first heard it. I was actually in Devon just before we were not allowed to move around our country anymore.
Don't rub it in.
And I'm sorry. I was meant to be delivering a workshop in Devon, which was cancelled because of you know what. But I thought, well, let's just have a little trip anyway. And I had a feeling it might be my last trip for a while. And I woke up in my Airbnb, saw that the Bulgarian song was out and popped it. You know, I don't know if you've ever done that, without even putting earphones in. I just had it on my phone speakers next to my ear in my bed and had a listen to it. And there in my cozy bed in my Airbnb, I got chills. And I know it's very sweet. I know it's kind of Disney-esque. And it's really not to my taste. This is not the kind of music I would listen to. But thinking about how they could stage it and what this meant for Bulgaria and how hard they'd worked at trying to get the right song and the right team and the right artist, I was so excited about the possibilities for this song. So for me, this really was a contender. I totally understand what all the hype was about and why it was number one with the bookies at time of cancellation. There's something, I think those Marmite songs, actually, I think if you really want to win, that's probably the way to go. It's probably to get enough people to really love it and have this kind of physical reaction to it. And all the ones who are indifferent, they won't vote, but then the ones who really, really do love it absolutely will. So this is an interesting one. And I think it's very brave of Bulgaria to have gone for it. And I'm a big fan.
Well, we'll never know how it would have got on at Eurovision, but in a moment we will find out if it has qualified through to Jukebox Jury Championships and the Grand Final. You know, we put this together so quickly, I'm not even sure that Jukebox Jury Championship is the best name for it. But anyway, In a moment, we will find out if Bulgaria is one of our two qualifiers from this semi-final of the Jukebox Jury Championship for 2020. A reminder, we haven't been doing Hit, Miss, or Maybe. We asked the three judges are ranking the songs, 5 points for our highest rank, then three, then two, then one. Just to remind our judges, the song you like the most gets the most points.
Okay, so just to be clear, the song I like the least gets the most points.
Gets the least points.
So the song I like the most doesn't get the fewest maximum points. Is that right?
No, there's only one maximum points to deliver.
I'm trying to make this authentic you into Eurovision. I'm trying to make sure we get the full jury
this isn't
experience.
Eurovision. You're just voting for your favourite song.
I've given my favourite a number one. Is that correct? Hello?
No, it's just... No, we're not doing it like Eurovision. It's just your favourite. Fill in your jury sheets, hand them back to me. We will take a very short break here. The jury scores have been received. The votes have been counted. We have a valid result. Which means, cue Charpentier Dramaticus. Much like the Eurovision semi-finals, we're not going to go round and pick up all the scores from the judges. Instead, I have two envelopes here with the qualifiers from this show. Ross, this is your envelope.
Thank you very much.
And Matthew, this is your envelope.
Thank you.
And so, the first qualifier from this semi-final of Jukebox Jury's 2020 Championship Ross.
It's Iceland.
Tavi Freya there. Think about things. We'll be heading through to our grand final. And our second qualifier from this round of Jukebox Jury's Championship is... Matthew?
It's Bulgaria.
It's Bulgaria joining Iceland and heading through to our grand final on Saturday. Commiserations to Armenia's Athena Manukian and the Czech Republic's Benny Christo. Our ticket through to Friday's final goes to Victoria and Tears Getting Sober and Avi Freyr's Think About Things. So, we have another semi-final coming up later on in the week. It will be airing on Wednesday. We will see battle between Russia, Lithuania, the Netherlands and Sweden. All remains for me to say thank you to our judges in this. Oh, we better do another bit of Jukebox Jury for this year. First of all, to Matthew Carr.
Always a pleasure, Ewan. Thanks so much.
And you're going to be coming back to judge semi-finals again on Wednesday.
Yep, back again. I reckon this really should be the last time you hear from me for this year.
And also, thanks to Ross Middleton.
Thank you very much for having me, Ewan. At least I haven't been furloughed from Jukebox Jury.
Not yet.
There's always time. Ross, your services are no longer needed.
Yep, they're certainly not needed on Wednesday. You're furloughed for Wednesday. Ha ha!
And then back again on...
Well, we'll see. Depends how much allowance HMRC gives us. Yes, Ross, we'll see you back again for the final. Matthew's going to be with us on the next semi-final along with Sam Ross from the parish. And hopefully you will be joining us as well. It's Jukebox Jury's Championship for 2020. We're going to find an end to our story and we hope that you join us to find out along with us. Ross, you're not quite furloughed yet.
Oh, I never got to do one in my actual Jukebox Juries. Excellent. Right, ladies and gentlemen.
Guitars! Oh. This episode of Jukebox Jury was hosted by Ewan Spence with Ross Middleton and Matthew Carr. More Eurovision at esinsight.com.